football on off the ball.
To start with my brother from another mother, Patrick Kluivert, you had Edgar Davids, you had Frank Rijkaard, you had, and if I need to name one, Frank Rijkaard was of course the man.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Yes, hello and welcome to the latest edition of the LOI Pod here on Off the Ball with myself, Stephen Doyle. And it was a very interesting weekend again, wasn't it, in the League of Ireland. And of course, we had that meeting of the top two in the Premier Division table. Well, they were before the weekend began. So let's hear what happened last Friday night on Off the Ball.
As if we needed to turn up the heat on a scorcher of a day in Dublin City. The sun is shining for this meeting of first against second. Rovers have already beaten Pats twice this season. Pats haven't scored in either game. And you feel that they're going to have to avoid defeat tonight to keep their title hopes alive. Joe Redmond comes out to Graeme Burke on the... Oh, what a goal! Graeme Burke with a stunning strike. The champions land the first blow in this top of the table clash. Oh, that's as good a goal as you'll see. 9 minutes gone. Shamrock Rovers 1, St. Pat's 0.
What an unbelievable goal. Dylan Watts recycles the second ball he does. Sets Graeme Burke up on the edge of the box. Graeme Burke, in my opinion, has probably the best left foot in the league. He's the most talented player by a mile in the league, and he shows exactly what he can do there. Incredible strike. You could have two goalkeepers and they still wouldn't have saved. The absolute rifle into the top corner.
Pats just can't get a foot in the ball now, Richie.
Unbelievable football from Shamrock Rovers. They're in the left back area, literally at the corner flag. They play 5 or 6 1-2s and they're up on the edge of St. Patrick's Athletic box. Then they recycle the ball back out a little bit.
How much of a difference are you seeing in what their approach has been tonight?
Do you know what?
At Richmond Park.
I think it's very similar, if I'm going to be honest. I think Shamrock Rovers are playing right through them every single time they get the ball. Like, you have Jack Bourne on the ball here, he always has an option. There's Dylan Watts just outside of him, and then you have runners in behind.
So this is it, last chance saloon for St. Pat's. In comes the corner, in swinger. Joseph hangs in around it again, and it's hooked over the bar. Rob Hennessy blows the full-time whistle at Tallaght Stadium, and Shamrock Rovers, the league leaders, come out on top. It's 3 defeats for St. Pat's against Shamrock Rovers this season. They're 8 points behind, albeit with a game in hand.
Yeah, really important week for us. 2 Dublin derbies off the back of 2 defeats, obviously. We knew we had to respond, and obviously really pleased on Monday, but really, really pleased tonight with how we came into the game after Monday. What that takes out of you physically and emotionally, mentally. It's a tough game, and to come back late and everything that goes with it. So it was really important tonight we were ready to go, because Pats are a good side and they were fresh, obviously. So it was really pleasing to see how we approached the game.
How do you assess how the first half has gone for you?
Yeah, listen, we weren't amazingly prepared, because we had a lot of players coming back from long-term injuries at the end of last season that weren't even quite ready for the start of the season. Up to today, we were in a really strong position overall. And the players, the people at the start of the season didn't really fancy us. We weren't really talked about for the top four, never mind winning the league. Shamrock Rovers are in a very strong position, but with 17 matches left, from our point of view, we've got to just concentrate on winning the games after the break. You know, we've got 4 home games out of 6.
Now, that was Stephen Kenny, the manager of St. Patrick's Athletic, giving his reaction to their defeat at Tallaght Stadium against Shamrock Rovers. And before that, it was Stephen Bradley, the Shamrock Rovers head coach, after you heard the call of Phil Egan. And Richie Tell was certainly the highlights from that game at Tallaght Stadium last Friday night. And, well, after all of the results from last Friday night, we had Drogheda United in a dramatic 3-3 draw against Waterford. Then there was Dundalk beating Derry City by 2-1. Shelburne and Galway United finished 1-1, and then Sligo Rovers beaten 3-1 at home by Bohemians, who move up to second place in the table. I am joined, as ever, by the two brilliant League of Ireland pundits, Gareth McLean and Vinnie Perth. How are you doing, lads?
Oh, afternoon.
How are we?
We did set you a bit of ecker, lads, for this week, so I'll come to that shortly. Before I do, And I'm springing this one on you unannounced, but I'm sure you have seen the draw for the second round of the FAI Cup. There's still a while to go before these matches are played. It's the third weekend of July. I think, lads, for neutrals, it's not really a great draw. Not too many kind of standout ties there, but I suppose the big one is the replay of last year's final, Vinny. That's between Shamrock Rovers and Cork City.
Yeah, it is. It's that'll be probably the most interesting one. Great opportunity for Cork to have a go off somebody. When you're flying high in the first division, it can go one or two ways where you have a good run, but ultimately I think you're not ready to win an FAI Cup. So playing one of the top teams this early in the competition is probably the way to go out. And if you do go out, but you can go up there, no fear, nothing to lose, have a cut off Rovers. And who knows, there's days where, you know, everything goes your way in the cup. And if it does for Cork, you know, they're playing well this season, as we know. But great draw for them in many ways, even though, you know, likelihood is they'll go out to a very strong Rovers side, you'd imagine, on the day. And if they do, they can focus on being a Premier Division club again. So it's fine. And if they win, what a shot in the arm that would be. So a good draw, I would say, for Cork. Believe it. Grand scheme of things over the course of the season, I talk about.
Yeah, I think when you look at the other top flight teams and who they've been drawn against, excuse me, like Waterford Cove Ramblers, is that one, Gareth, you think might provide an upset? I wonder what, you know, the new manager Waterford might be kind of thinking. Do we sack off the cup maybe just to focus on staying in the top flight? Might be a chance for Cove Ramblers coming in. Munster Derby match might fancy their chances at the RSC.
Yeah, it's probably the tastiest of them all. I mean, a lot of the big teams have avoided each other. I don't think there's any. I'm just pulled it up here. I didn't even see it, but there's no Premier Division against Premier Division. So that's probably the most likely to be an upset. Waterford, I think, Coughlin will look at it and go, are we going to go on and win the Cup? Or how much of an advantage will it be going through three or four rounds? He'd probably turn around and say, this early on, he might use it for a bit of experimentation to find out who he's got in the squad, who he can rely on, and who he needs to bring in the summertime as well. But that's that.
Yeah, sorry, Gary. I was just going to say, Steve, there's probably three that stand out. Shell's away to Kerry could be tricky.
That's a tricky one, yeah.
And this might sound a bit mad, but the loud clubs
got
that home to Lucan, but Mochtas away is a really difficult draw for Dundalk. So watch the space and draw it at home. That Lucan side would be good as well. So draw that at home and have the advantage of that. But Lucan won't disgrace themselves going up there as well. So they're probably the three ties that outside of the Rovers, Cork, that stand out for me.
Yeah, what was it, Vinny, that kind of stood out to you about this St. Mochtas one? As my, excuse me, my producer, David Wilson, reminds me in my year, of course, Mochtas beat Dundalk not so long ago.
Yeah, now Dundalk were in a completely different place. That could have went wrong, was going wrong for them at this stage. But Mochtas, they're just well coached. Brian has done a really good job there. They've been thereabouts at the top of the Leinster Senior League for a number of years. Colin Hawkins heavily involved with the development side of the club as well. They've got a lot of structures really well. Their pitch generally is decent that time of the year. They won't be short for fitness. A lot of experienced players. I know Glenn Crowe, Paul McNally are two that were involved for a long time. I'm not sure they're still involved, but a lot of good League of Ireland or Leinster Senior League people around that club. So it will be a difficult day for Dundalk. He won't have it easy. Dundalk would have a couple of younger lads in their squad, and it can be difficult. Them games are really difficult for the Premier Division side. So Mochtas wouldn't be it'd be a shock in the grand scheme of things, but it wouldn't shock me if they were to cause an upset there.
Yeah, Brian surely, McCarthy. Surely, you're referred to Brian McCarthy. Gareth. Yeah.
Surely Kieran Culduff, I mean, you look at it now, he's 3 points off third, and he's only, granted, he's only 3 points ahead of Shells. Surely he rests people and doesn't take any chances on a lot of the players that's playing well this year for maybe getting through maybe one or two rounds in the cup.
Yes, I know, Gareth. I mean, if you do that, particularly, I'm not having the biggest strength and depth in the squad, and if you do that when you're playing week on week. So the FAI is Cup is not like where, you know, you're playing on a Monday night and you have a game on a Friday or anything like that. Generally, it's well spread out. And they're just coming back off the break. I know it's still, what, four, five weeks away. But at the same time, you go up to Mockers and you're not at it, and you give that message to your players, Dundalk aren't in that position to go up there and mess around, you know?
Yeah, I was looking through as well. Like, you know, we might even see, you know, a decent non-league side coming through. Excuse me, because of the, say, you've got Douglas Hall against Castlebar Celtic. What was the other one I was looking at there? Bangor Celtic against College Corinthians. So you're going to have a side or two coming through there, non-league sides. I might fancy getting through a round or two if they can win that second round match. Like Crumlin United going to Galway United, they'll be up for that one as well. I like to look at that Finn Harps Bray Wanderers match. I think that could be a good tie as well. I'd say Finn Harps having the home advantage there in Ballybuffet. Gareth will be fancying their chances getting into the third round, then who knows from there?
Yeah, no, that's 100%. And if you look at the league, Finn Harps aren't performing well in the league. There's no question about it. Now, it's never an easy place to go with the pitch up there, but they've got a good young side now. They'll want to go on a cup run. We mentioned a couple of teams there. You're kind of like, oh, do they want a cup run? Do they not want a cup run? I think Finn Harps is a perfect example of someone that will want to go through that round. They'll want to get a bit of confidence from that, come back after the break, really hit the ground running, and then try and finish the second half of the season. But that's a tough draw for Bray. Bray are doing all right at the moment.
Yeah, so that's the FAI Cup second round draw, which was made today. So third weekend of July is when those matches will be played. And I believe that the Sunday of that weekend is the World Cup final day. So I think the fixture boffins in the FAI are going to have to do some, well, just to make sure that none of those ties are going to be clashing or even getting close to the time of the FA, or sorry, the World Cup final. Lads, the Premier Division, I mentioned there the results from last Friday. Just have a quick word, Vinny, from you on the top of the table clash as it was last Friday. What was your kind of your summary of that game, your thoughts?
You know, I've waxed lyrical about Shamrock Rovers now for most of the season. I predicted, I think if we go back, I predicted Pats to be in the top three this year. They're there, thereabouts. But they haven't laid a glove on Rovers this year. They've dropped 9 points to them. And they were a little bit better the other day in terms that they played a little bit more like themselves. Just didn't have a goalkeeper, and it's just, it's hard to watch because I expect more of a Stephen Kenny side. And I mean, I go back to the game in Richmond where I thought you were awful on the day in terms of the tactical setup. And then through the day, you haven't tested the goalkeeper enough. They had that little spell at the end of the game. I think what's ominous for everybody else is, and I hate making long term, people thought in 2016 Dundalk would dominate Rovers and Bowls and Shells over the last 20 years. And it is cyclical. I know it is, whether it's been Celtic, Liverpool, City, all of that stuff. You always come back to the pack. But I genuinely believe Rovers in transition at the moment. And that's the scary part. I think when you look at, yes, they're good young players, but when you look at the amount of young players, they're blooding at the moment. Being able to take Victor out of sides, because his form's gone up and down. Michael Nolan's come back out, because that's what happens to young players. Your form goes up and then down when you're coming into the side. Corey O'Sullivan's back in around the team again. You look at the bench full of kids the other day. We'll talk about Rovers a little bit later. That'll be a concern later on the season. But nobody looks like they can lay a glove on Shamrock Rovers. So
it was really... Lads, what formation...
Well, sorry, can I... Gareth... Just to say there, and I'm just giving the playing devil's advocate here, you're saying nobody can lay glove on Rovers. Like, they just came out of back-to-back defeats against Dundalk and Sligo Rovers. So, you know, teams can lay a glove on them.
But there's still 6 points clear despite of all of that. And you'd expect a team in the rebuild below Steve-O. Still 6 points clear despite all of that. Or 8 clear of St. Patrick's Athletic.
Pats have a game in hand, of course.
I get that. And to be fair, Pats next four games, 4 out of 6. I think Stephen touched on it. I was looking at Pats next couple of weeks' fixtures, and they're very favourable. But actually, ironically, outside of Rovers, Pats' biggest problem has been, you go back a few weeks ago, that double weekend, I think it was Sligo and Galway on the Monday, where they drew both games and dropped, 4 points. That's what I mean about not laying a glove on them. You know, nobody's putting, and I'm not going to repeat what I've said because people will go, you're saying the same thing. Nobody's putting them under pressure. If you were appointed to a head of Rovers and he lost those two games in a row, then it's pressure. Then the next game, all of a sudden you're panicking. But remember when Rovers lost in Dundalk, you walk into the dressing room, players take out their phones. What's the other scores? Well, Pat's lost. Great. We're still 3 points clear. They're not being tested.
Sorry, Gareth, you were going to...
Sorry, Gareth.
Yeah, and just on to that point as well, I mean, they're not being tested, the other teams. I mean, that's obviously not Rovers' fault, right? But Rovers aren't flying either. Like, they, as Steve-O said, like, there's chinks in the armour there. Pico not being there now. They're breeding all these young players through. The one or two times they've been put under real pressure, which we know Dundalk have done it to every team they've come up against. Dundalk has put them under real pressure. Derry put them under unbelievable pressure in Celtic Park. And then obviously Sligo get the one up there as well. So I don't understand when you're looking at that, Vinny, as a manager, that seemingly the way to get at Rovers and go at them is to put them under immense pressure. Now, it's a huge amount of energy exerted to do that for 90 minutes. And you're obviously running the gauntlet of maybe them getting an early goal or getting a couple of goals. You could end up with egg in your face, winning 4 or 5-0. But they've been real high intensity games. They haven't exactly came out winning.
Yeah, like even the match they won in Galway a few weeks ago, like they, granted, look, they did what they had to do to win it, but like there were, you know, I'd imagine John Caulfield is probably kind of frustrated they got nothing from that game, because Galway United did have some brilliant moments and periods of dominance in that game. Again, like with Bohemians a couple of weeks ago, and Bradley even said it there in that post-match interview after the Pats game, that, you know, that they were relieved to come out of that game unscathed because it was such a pressure game. He admitted that after the Pats match. So, look, I just think...
We do
get commenters sometimes. I think it's on the YouTube video from last week that, you know, this rush to say, look, Rovers are the champions and that's it. Like, you know, kind of writing off all the other teams. Like, there's still... We've only had, like, most of the teams have only played half a season. So there's still a lot of matches to be played. And as Gareth references, you know, we won't see the full effects of the Roberto Lopez absence probably for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, so... Then if I can clarify my comments very clearly, Rovers in transition, they're there, they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable to be got at. But surely no one's good enough. Look at the Rovers bench today. Dido started. Corey O'Sullivan started, okay, as a young player. Enda Stevens, Lee Grace and Subawali. That's coming away from the great Rovers team. But to be fair, Subawali's done brilliantly for them, okay?
Yeah.
John McGovern leading the line. I'm not sure about him still at the moment, right? So the toll's there. But look at our bench. Igor Vassanan, I think I pronounced 19. John O'Sullivan, young player. Razzy, young player. Michael Noonan, young player. Kovalevsky, young player. Alex Nolan, young player. So go back 3-4 years, and that bench would have been Tell, McInniff, Watts, Mandrew. Do you remember bringing up 4 and 5 stars at a stage? So it's not that. They're unbelievably vulnerable at the moment. They're not at their very best. But it's not, and I'm not being critical of them. I'm actually giving them huge compliments. The young players are coming in, being able to lose the odd game here and there, and nobody's laying a glove on them when it comes to the league title challenge.
And I think that's the one thing I would say. Whenever Derry were kind of pushing Rovers to a certain extent, right, even when Derry were 3-4 points ahead of Rovers, with the squad that they had, you always felt they were going to hit that peak in the second set of the season. I don't get that feeling for this Rovers team. And that's why, even though they're 6 points clear, I just don't get that feeling for them that they're going to end up winning it by 10, 12 points. I honestly think they're going to have a bad patch. Maybe it's going to be Europe or maybe one of these other teams. There has to be somebody that comes from the pack. There has to be.
Yeah, no, look, it's opinions, Garrett, isn't it? Like, I would have shocked me if Rovers lost 3 of the next 5 games and someone else got it. No. But when I mention all them young players, the reason why that's so important is, imagine them young players going into that game against Pats, and they were 2 points behind them because Pats didn't make a balls of the weekend where they went Friday, Monday. And all of a sudden, and even if that game is nil all after an hour, Stephen Bradley turns to his bench and all he sees is kids. As much as he backs the kids he plays, absolutely does. But if that was nil on, you were 2 points behind 3 years ago when you won, he'd go and say, warm up, man, Drew. You know what I mean? I could list them off. Warm up, Johnny Kenny. Warm up, Rory Daphne.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richie Towell on you come. He hasn't got that now. That's the point. I'm probably not making well enough to say, unless the other teams put them under pressure, it's going to be a cakewalk to a league title. And then this time next year, where the challenge is, all them young lads have a league title under the belt and have been through it and have learned how to win leagues and have learned around experienced players. So,
okay, well, listen, that should bring us on nicely, Vinny, too.
You could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet.
The referee letting play continue. One last throw.
It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but
Scales is up after it. Scales wins ahead.
I will have that forever.
There's the goal. That's Troy Parrott. That is unbelievable.
Inner Drive, Episode 1 with Troy Parrott, out now on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Allianz, a proud sponsor of Irish sport.
Off the Ball.
Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
I said you boys a bit of homework here, so I've given you 5 clubs each at the midway point in the season. I want you to give me one area of the field you think that each team really kind of badly needs to improve on as we look forward to the summer transfer window. So let's get off to a start with Gareth. And Gareth, will we go with the team we went from the bottom first, Waterford? So having a look at Waterford, coming into, and you know what, Coughlin's done okay since he's come in there. He's got 2 draws and a win, and I imagine he's very frustrated considering the situation they're in on Friday night to not get the win against Drogheda United, but they needed a late equaliser even just to get the point there. I'm sure happy enough, but where does this Waterford team, what's the issue for them, do you think, as we look at the rest of the season?
Well, I think they're in a much, much better position right now. You mentioned those the other night, but you've got to think back to the Derry City last-minute header as well. I mean, he should be in a much better position, and that's got to give the players and him a massive boost going into the second half of the season. I would imagine that Waterford are going to do well the next 3 or 4 games. Looking at right back seems to be one for me. Houston is their right back. He's been in and out. He's back out injured again, coming off in the last match. That's the position. Luke Heaney was suspended the other night. He was usually playing right back. We talked about how important he is in the middle of the park. So if it was me looking at Waterford, that right back position is key. We talked about the centre half position now. Long's come in. Not only is he keeping the defence in check, he's also scoring goals on the other end as well. But you look going forward, how Lonergan scored loads of goals. You've got Almond there as well. It's at a halfway stage, although they're sitting bottom of the league, Waterford fans and the players must be coming into the second half. Again, their first match back is home to Sligo. So they'll be relatively positive.
Which brings us on nicely, Vinny, to your first team down around the bottom end of the table. It is Sligo Rovers. They are second from bottom, 8 points clear of Waterford, who gained a point on Sligo because Sligo were beaten 3-1 on Friday night against Bohemians. They will be playing Waterford away, as Gareth references there. Sligo Rovers, it hasn't been too bad of a season so far. They've got 5 wins and 4 draws out of their 19 matches. But what area of the field do you think John Russell needs to look at in terms of improving on, or else getting a player in there?
Yeah, I think there's two real areas to stand out. I mean, they need a goal scorer because they've got quality around. Ben O'Kane can do really well from Will Fitzgerald. I think now they're much better midfield. Keeping Blaney fit is huge. McHugh does a really good job for him as well. Sue is a decent player. A little bit inexperienced at centre-half. Maybe McElroy. Denham is a young player coming in. I think he's Welsh. either a centre half, but definitely a centre forward will get them out of that second position, because even McMahon is coming into midfield, giving them that attacking option. Patton as well in the forward areas. They've lots to like about them. Got to keep the clean sheets. That's why the centre half is niggling away at Keane Kavanagh. Decent, not really getting the goals from him. Diore hasn't sort of blown the charts away, nor has any striker in the league really. So, but I think if they could, I think if you asked John Russell, he'd probably say centre forward.
And Joe, I think even to add to that, Vinny, a big hold up centre forward, some player that's going to make the ball stick, you know. What about
Max Mata, the job he'd done years ago?
Or Aidan Keane, maybe they need to raid the Inchicore coffers there. So listen, that's Sligo Rovers. Moving on to Gareth's next team up the table, it's Drogheda United. 21 points so far from their 19 games. I think, Vinny, you might have even said earlier in the season, this is kind of Drogheda going back to the pack, where maybe is the realistic position for Drogheda after a couple of sensational seasons. They've had a couple of draws in the last two matches, which is really, I suppose, bouncing back from those two earlier defeats. They'll be away to St. Pat's when we come back on the 12th of June. 5 wins, 6 draws so far, 8 defeats. It's not too bad of a record, Gareth, but what's the area of the field that you think they are lacking in as we go into the second half of the season?
Yeah, I've enjoyed this exercise. I hope they stay, Steve. We'll just come back and looking at the squads. I actually forgot how strong Drogheda are as a squad, whether it be through injuries or different things or form. They're definitely, I think, they're sitting 8th, right? But if they won their game in hand, they go to 24 points. I think they're doing all right. To me, it has to be centre halves. That's what they base. Kevin Doherty has always based his teams on clean sheets. 1 clean sheet in the last 6, 1-1 in the last 5. Not really good for form going on there. Keeley's injured, Bulger's injured. Kwan is struggling big time for form, who, by the way, was unbelievable last year and the year before that. I don't know what's happened to him. Real good player, a player that I really like, not the tallest. Leo Burney coming in has been a big addition, not only at the other end of the pitch, but just commanding. And obviously, Warren Davis hasn't been good as well, injured. So to me, if you were going to do everything, they probably need another centre-half.
Or a 6th card to protect the centre-half.
I was looking at that. I think they've got enough sixes. Sorry, and the other position I love them to strengthen in, you've got Doyle and Davis, right? Alua plays up there. Obviously, Alua stepped up in the first event. I think they need another attacking player. I know Brandon Kavanagh plays in the middle and sometimes plays out wide. You almost need one more starter to become a real threat. But I think if you're asking Kevin Doherty, either one of his current centre halves not to be injured or to be back banging form, I think that's where he's struggling. If they can start with that, see with Mark Doyle, the way he scores goals and how much of a handful he is, and Davis getting back fit, they've more than enough.
Yeah, because you look at their goals conceded. I think you're spot on, Gareth. 32 goals conceded. That is second worst only to Waterford, who have 40 conceded. And who's the next after Drogheda United? It's, in fact, Galway United. Two sides we would have always kind of associated with good defending. So I'd imagine it's certainly something Kevin Doherty will want to improve.
Remember, Steve-O, Ryan Brennan is probably their 6th for the last few weeks. And Ryan has had a brilliant career, doing really well. That's why sometimes it's not about centre-halves, it's about a bit of protection there.
Yeah, they're probably missing Heaney, in fact, aren't they, after he went to Waterford?
Yeah, he gave them used legs in the midfield as well, to be fair. And obviously, Shane Farrell, Heaney, Brennan, they had good combinations in there.
Mm. So, Vinny, that takes us up to Galway United on 21 points, the same as Drogheda United, but they've got a better goal difference of -3 compared to Drogheda's -7. So nearly identical records, 5 wins, 6 draws, 7 defeats out of their 18 games. They've got 2 games in hand on Derry City. God, if they were to win and draw even, what are you talking about, 25, that takes them 3 out of Derry City. So Galway United, Vinny, you look at that squad, like, they've put in some really good performances this season. I've always liked Galway United when I've seen them. What's the kind of area that you feel they're lacking in?
I think, again, a lot of teams, sorry, Steve, but it's 2 probably positions. That centre midfield, Conor McCormick is in there. Aaron Bulger is played in there. Probably short of one out-and-out centre midfielder with real legs and energy. And a lot of Galway fans and yourselves might not even agree with this, but a centre forward, like Stephen Walsh, grand, is doing okay. And Franz Pirro is only coming off the bench. So either there's something wrong with him, or John has to make a decision, do I need a centre forward to get me goals? Because they've been really well in games. They've been in a lot of games late, so they're not lacking lots of energy or structure or organisation, because John's team don't. Gordick, obviously, been a brilliant signer for them as well. So I just feel if they could get...
Yeah, Pirro scored against Shells, of course, but he probably hasn't scored the amount of goals you would have expected a player of his experience in the League of Ireland. Gareth, you're going to say something?
He's an interesting one. I mean, see, when you watch him, even the goal against Derry, remember, he whooped it right into the corner. He's brilliant. And I've watched him live 3 or 4 times, and he started twice. And every time after an hour, it's like somebody switches a button on him. He just dies. It doesn't seem like he's got 90 minutes in him. I don't know whether it's a fitness thing or whether it's he can't get himself fit. But a really flying fit Franz Pirro is frightening for centre-halves, because he's big, strong, he can go in behind, he's quick, but he just can't get through 90 minutes. It must be frustrating.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned him, because we all expect them to do really well. What's interesting, Steve, is, and why that starting at the bottom is a great idea. I'll tell you why. Because Galway, and you'd have to include Derry in this before you move on to Derry with Gareth, they all have to be looking over the shoulder at that playoff position. Every single one of them. That's why your business in this window is huge.
Sligo Rovers are 19, and there's only 3 points between themselves and Derry City. And as Gareth mentioned, Sligo Rovers, Drogheda United, they both have a game in hand. Like, if Sligo won their game in hand, they're level on points with Derry City, albeit having a far worse goal difference column. That brings us to Derry City, Gareth. 22 points after 20 matches. So they've only got another 18 to go. They're well past the halfway point. And I'm going to ask you, where do they need to strengthen, which is with Derry City? Like, because they've got riches right across the board. They just don't seem to have used them right. And probably the last thing they need to be thinking about is signing players. It's about using properly the players that you've already signed.
There's a bit of that, Stephen, but it's hard to believe, as you say, the budget involved here. I mean, they're in the top two budget-wise, and you look at them, and it's not a case of it's pretty obvious that they need to. The only place that I would say is right-sided centre-half. They've been playing a left-footer. I mean, they went one of the games this season with 4 left-footers in the back four, which is embarrassing, the fact the amount of money they've spent. Conor Barr, by the way, was excellent in the last 3 games, but again, a young local player that's been called upon, and had they not have had the injuries, probably wouldn't have been even considered, but doing really well. But they need a right-sided centre-half. But you're right. But again, Derry with the loan signings, the keeper, you've got Josh Thomas now going back to his parent club. There's going to be a bit of movement in and out of Derry again for the fourth window in a row. So that would be the position I would look at. Cotter's obviously come on right-sided wing-back. When they've played, he can play right-back. But they need a real dominant right-sided centre-half is the one that I'd be looking at.
Funny enough, when we mentioned Derry City, like, you've got a couple of centre-forwards there, not all of them getting regular football. I wonder, is that something, although I suppose Sligo Rovers are in a way a rival of Derry City now, I wonder if Sligo Rovers maybe, I know John Russell, Vinny's always good for the old loan deals midway through the season, and maybe some of the teams in the top four might be thinking, not a huge threat. I wonder if there's any kind of young centre-forwards, even big centre-forwards Sligo Rovers might look at there. Listen, let's move on to your next team, Vinny, which is Shelburne.
Sorry, before you move on, can I ask you one question?
Yeah. Go ahead, right. Vinny.
Who finishes second bottom in the playoff?
Ooh.
Call it now.
I am going to say... Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a tough one. Drogheda United.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
No chance. No, looking at their squad, I can't see it, boys. And a lot depends on Warren Davis's injury. I think it's between Sligo and Galway, and I'm going to go Sligo.
Okay. Yeah. It's a hard one to call. And I know Kevin Doherty's going to be probably cursing me and Vinny, and he'd be telling the lads all about it to spur them on for the rest of the season, isn't he? No, I'm joking.
That's why I said it.
The checks in the post from Kev. Shelburne in fifth position on 26 points. They're going to have a home derby against Shamrock Rovers. I should say Derry City. They'll be hosting Bohemians after the break. Shelburne entertaining Shamrock Rovers when they come back. They're on 19 points, 6 wins, 8 draws, 5 defeats, only plus 1 in the goal difference column on 26 points. They're 6 off the top 3 and the European places. Vinny, it's been maybe an underwhelming season so far for Shelburne, but they've got that Talca Park hoodoo off their back. What is it there? Where is it they're lacking in that team? What do they need to do? What kind of player do they need to sign, do you think, to see out the rest of the season?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, you possibly could have said a centre-half, but Casey and Barrett, Casey's still not fit yet, but Sam Bone and Barrett playing together, you can imagine. Casey, I'm not sure the injury, but shouldn't be too far away. And Bang is there. They've got an outstanding squad, like on paper. They've a lot going for them. You look at the last day, McElroy didn't even play, either did Henry Francis play. So they've got lots of strength and depth. There's an easy way to answer this, and one is, say, do you need a centre forward to put the ball in the back of the net? Right? And Meepo's just come back off off a long-term injury. John Martin's streak, he gets goals here and there. And whatever's going on with Boydie, I love him to death. He's not playing regularly. And he's not scoring goals regularly. So the icing on their cake has to be striker. That's an easy thing to say. They also have to create a few more chances, I would say to you. I think that's the bigger discussion around what they need to bring in. Probably not getting enough forward players in the forward area. Like if Wood on the pitch, Steve, Will Darvis, Ali Coop has done really well. I just want to see more chances created.
Yeah, but like that's the thing, the funny thing with Shells, I think, Gareth, is that we know they've got players there that can create chances. Ali Coote, Will Jarvis, Harry Wood, all these players we know can create, but it probably is a finisher, you know, like the strikers they have there just haven't shown us that they can be relied on as finishers. Like John Martin's probably done the best out of the three recognised centre forwards. Freitas definitely has something about him. I just haven't seen him playing regularly enough to become a regular goal scorer.
And Daniel Kelly has probably scored a huge chunk of their goals as well.
But I tell you what, boys, it comes back to the same thing we were talking about, Bose. These strikers are starved of good, clear-cut chances. John Martin, I've watched him a couple of times live. I really like him. He's industrious. He's always in the box between the two centre-halves. He's standing up there making run after run after run, and boys are passing the ball 5 yards and back and forth and over and back and won't cross the ball to him. Honestly, I don't... Yes, they could do be another striker, right? Because obviously, Boydie's not doing it. Meebo's only coming back. He looked very, very rusty against Derry when he was up in the Bradleywell. But put the ball in the box. Put the ball in the box and they will have a chance. So I would be sticking up for the strikers. I said this 3 weeks ago, right? We had the same problem with Bose. The last 3 weeks, Bose have gone really, really, really playing well. They were really poor there. They drew against Waterford and then lost 3 in the bounce. Something changed and they'd started. And you know what as well? They were putting the ball in the box against Drogheda and Galway, two of what would be perceived as the biggest teams in the league. Shelburne need to do the same thing because see the players that they've got? They've got the quality. It doesn't matter if you're putting the ball in the box and Martin's in there alone with two centre-halves who are much bigger than him. If the quality is on the cross, Martin will get there on the end of it. So that to me, is the biggest problem with Shelburne.
Do you know one other thing? The left back they signed from Liverpool has been a huge loss. Norris, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry, what's his name with them? We had Chuck. Yeah, Chuck's been a huge loss for them. To be fair,
yeah.
If you think of him bombing forward and Bang, Stroke Gannon, you know they've lost that for a long period this season. That's been a huge loss. And sometimes it's those fullbacks, and particularly Chelsea use a back three quite often. They're the ones that need to give them width and the cross into the box. And you're right to touch on Martin. I mean, go back to that goal against, was it Derry, where he scored the back post, that brilliant header.
Unbelievable. Honestly, yeah, unbelievable. The other thing, it's the same with Bowes as well. None of the centre midfielders, Freitas, Wood, now Wood's been a brilliant, he's an unbelievable creator, right? There's nobody going beyond Martin. So he's literally standing with two, sometimes three centre halves, and there's nobody punching holes in the defence to create a distraction to give him half a yard.
Can I just say something on that though as well? Some of those attacking players, I don't know any names, like I've watched games of Shelburne, and their work around the defensive third of the pitch hasn't been up to the standard that you would have expected from a Damien Duff or Joey O'Brien team. And the one thing about the work you do around your own box as an attacking player, not only are you helping to defend your goal, you're also helping to, or you're also contributing to creating turnovers. And that's where Shells can really, you know, put teams under real threat, because if you win those balls in the edge of your box, if you've got a Harry Wood tackling an offensive player and winning the ball, it's not just about defending your own goal, it's about starting your own attacks, and they just haven't been good enough in that sense, I don't think.
Steve, I might share with yourselves, and we see, can we share this with the public, about 2 years ago, 2.5, under Damien Duff, what you're talking about is 100% spot on. They played that front three, were narrow front three for Shells, spoke about a few times, midfield was narrow three. And if the ball went to the right, one of the midfielders would jump out, and he always had two in the middle of the pitch. Or if someone crossed it, he was under a lot of pressure. I have a great couple of video clips of that with highlights in it. We must share it. They have come away from that, and they've changed their shape a little bit, and they've changed their way of playing. They're a little bit easier to play against now than they were under Damien Duff stroke Joey when he first took over. And that's part of the problem. He felt he needed to involve, where there wasn't, I don't want to say there was Arsenal-esque about them, but there was a way of playing about them so structured when they were successful and won that league title years ago.
Yeah, I should mention, I was meant to say to you as well, Vinny, because I know last week there was talk of Kerr McEnroy seeing a specialist about that knee injury that he sustained. So I don't know what the end result of that was, what end result was of that. So listen,
well, Lee Chapman came into the team out of blue. You mean you talk about strength and depth in the squad, like Lee Chapman, Jesus, now Leeds centre forward there made a comeback. They're 60, is he?
Oh yeah.
Ellis Chapman,
Ellis Chapman should have gotten the winner up in the Brandywell. Meebo went down the right hand side and he made a great run in the middle of the pitch, so it'd be great to see Chapman back, because he was very, very good for Sligo. And again, he's the type of player will get into the box. He will go beyond and will not. He hasn't got that more defensive mind. He will go beyond Martin. I'm sure Martin would like him in the team as well.
Okay, let's move on. your next team, Gareth. What was your kind of, I suppose, summation of the Dundalk season so far, where they need to strengthen looking to the second half of the season? Like, they're in such a good position, 29 points. Listen, you're halfway through the season, you're only three off the European places. Ciarán Cailduff mightn't say it in public, but they got to go for Europe now. And how do they go about doing that?
Big time, 100%. Obviously, we've known this, right? Dundalk, to me, you've got the 5 stars. There's very few teams with 5 stars at this stage of the season, but they have done that. Unbelievable. This is where the FEA Cup team comes into it, getting injuries now. And it's amazing because they do have injuries. You don't hear Ciarán Cailduff crying about it. No. Everything has been patched up. They played with three fullbacks against Rovers in centre-half positions. Mm. Unbelievable.
I don't think he's had a fully fit defensive pack to choose from any week this season.
No, 100%. And that's where the credit's got to go. That's the credit to the manager and obviously the players as well for being versatile. But Bobby Burns was playing centre-half against Derry. Exceptional. He's been one of the real highlights. If you were to ask him, he would probably want maybe another defender centre-half just because of the injuries. Yeah. He's just been very unlucky. Now, it hasn't deterred them at all. The performance levels, the aggression, the things that they've been doing well, they've just continued to do them no matter who's been playing. So that's the area that you would like. And then you look at the forwards, they've been frightening, they've been exceptional.
Vinny, St. Pat's third position, 32 points after that defeat to Shamrock Rovers. They're winless in the last three, but they do have a game in hand on the two teams above them, 2 points behind Bohemians, 8, as we've mentioned, off Shamrock Rovers. What does Stephen Kenny need to do? Who could he sign? What area of the pitch do you think to keep the pressure on Shamrock Rovers somehow?
Yeah, I think probably where I would go look at is maybe a left back. I mean, Luke Corner has done a job in that position, whether it's been the left of a three or left back. But somebody just to run past Zach Elbezetti every so often. And there isn't a huge, or probably short of a few of them around the league. In many ways, Waterford could probably deal with one as well, and a few other teams. But somebody like Trevor Clark, Rovers probably wouldn't give him the pass. Someone if that ilk can say Trevor's been injured quite a lot and it doesn't look like his face fits in Rovers anymore. Somebody just to get another 6 months out of and say, come on, give us your best shot. Any offer make signings like that feels like if they got a left back to run past Elbezetti, as I said, make life easier for him. Just give him a little bit of support. James Brown does that on the other side, allows Keen Levy to go and do his bit of magic inside. But for me, that feels huge. In all other areas, obviously Joseph Lang going to the World Cup is a bit of a blow for them. But he'll come back and we don't know how soon, or hopefully not too soon from his point of view. But that aside, lots of strength and depth. Midfield well covered, up front well covered. It's really, for me, a left wing back or a left back.
Yeah, they'll be banking a lot of money while Joe Anang is away at the World Cup from FIFA, and maybe that's what Stephen Kenny could use to leverage his budget for that summer transfer window. Let's quickly move on to Bohemians, Gareth. They've had Sam Todd playing a left back over the last couple of weeks, but if there's an area of the park there you think Bohemians could strengthen in to try and keep a title challenge alive, where would you be looking at?
Yeah, well, has Mullen gone back, Steve? You might know this. Has he gone back or is he on loan for the whole season?
Senna Mullen's there for the season, yeah, from Torino, yeah.
Right, yeah, because I was going to say that's an area you can't... Sam Todd's a great player, a great defensive player. I don't think playing him left back for the whole season would work, and they've got Flores can dip in there as well.
And Ryan Burke. They've got Ryan Burke who's been sitting on the bench as well, yeah.
There you are. So they are quite... And defensively, I know that Vinny would have said centre-half, but to me... Hickey's been the best signing so far for... I like Cian Byrne there, and obviously I like Sam Todd as well. The big one for me would probably be a striker to be able to put real pressure on Douglas James Teacher, because he hasn't been fit. He's been in and out. Whelan's done well in a few games, but they need someone to put pressure on the two boys to really... You saw it there against Sligo, who, by the way, both were excellent on the night, but they switched it at half-time. He's just unconvinced on either of them. I'm sure if he wanted, he would just want one striker to go on and go and just say to them, you're my man for the second half of the season, go and score goals.
I hear your countyman, Georgie Kelly's knocking around the place. Gareth, I wonder what he... anyway, I'd say he might be looking for a few quid, though. A few quid more than he was earning last
time. Mark Hughes just lost his job, did he, at Georgie's club? No?
Oh, but Carlisle, yeah. Yeah, I thought you were going to say they should sign Mark Hughes. Bloody hell, Vinny.
We're not that badly stuck. Mark Hughes to hold it up and Lee Chapman running behind.
Oh, lovely anyway. Joe, yeah. Jeez, I tell you. Vinny, quickly, on Rovers, can we need to wrap it up in 60 seconds? Yeah. They don't need nothing, do they? They're grand.
Rovers' problem, as I discussed earlier on the show, is not around probably winning the league for me. It's about, have you got enough strength and depth in Europe? I'd be worried about a couple of lads, lots of injuries coming up. Is the left wing back sorted? Brannan is obviously training with the Ireland squad, but is that enough? Is he good enough for Europe? We're going to find out. And like all teams, I'd say if Georgie Kelly came available, Giles, Rovers and Pats would all deal with him at the club.
Brilliant, lads. That was absolutely brilliant. Really enjoyed that. What was it, about 50 minutes or so on the podcast this week. A little filler there until we get ready for our matches, which return on Friday week. Don't worry, lads, we've got the Girls in Green to keep us entertained this Friday. I'll be down in Parquet Cueve doing a full broadcast down there on the World Cup qualifier against the Netherlands. So that's what I'll be doing my free Friday night, lads. But I hope you manage to get the feed up, have a little summer cocktail, and we'll be seeing you next week. And to you, listener, thanks very much for listening. We'll chat to you next week.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.